decided that I didn't want to make it a quick hour, but just kind of shorten it to like a 30-minute message that you would remember everything I said. And so I shortened it so that we would take these verses and break it into two sermons that would benefit us all. And so this morning's message is from 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 to 11. It's called The Test of Love. How many of you are familiar with Charlie Brown's The Peanuts, the comic strip? You're familiar with that? In one cartoon, I'm sure we can all relate to it because most of the time those messages, the truth that comes out is something that we can all relate to in our own life. Especially so when Linus, in this one cartoon, he protests as he says this, "I love mankind. It's people I can't stand." When love is just an idea in our heads, it's a cinch. It really is. It's loving those irritating people that we rub shoulders with during the day that makes love difficult, right? But how much more so is love demonstrated right now with the people all around you? The people that you rub shoulders with on every Sunday you come together with. How is love demonstrated? How is love demonstrated at Calvary Baptist Church when we get together? This morning, as we continue our study in 1 John, we learned last week, John says this. He says that we know that we know him, Jesus, if we keep his commandments. Doesn't mention which commandment he's referring to, but he says, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says that he knows him and does not keep his commandments, he says, is what? A liar, and the truth is not in him. So it's not by experience or by a feeling that gives us confidence that we know Jesus is living in us and that we have eternal life. The way that you and I can have confidence that we know that he is in us, that we have eternal life, it's not a feeling, it's not some kind of mystical experience, it's because we obey him. We obey his commandments. And so as we look at these verses in 7 through 11, John's going to get much more specific as to what kind of obedience he is referring to. What is God talking about? And so listen to the word of the Lord in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. And we're just going to cover verses 7 and 8 this morning. I believe God has a message for us in these verses. Brethren, speaking to believers, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Powerful stuff. Father, I want to pray and ask that you will take the truth of these words, this passage in your word, and may we have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand it. I pray, O God, that you would help us today to be transformed by the word of God, that we would not just be hearers of it, we would be doers of it. And so have your way in my heart, have your way in all of our hearts. Spirit of God, move in our midst. We want to know you more, God. We want to know you more, and we want to serve you more. We want to make you known. We need you. And so I pray, in the most precious name of Jesus, that you would be glorified. Amen. I believe this passage that we're looking at is teaching us about love. Even though the word love is only mentioned one time in these five verses, the passage is teaching us about loving your brother and sister. Loving your brother and sister, John says, is the key to know whether or not you've experienced God's forgiveness and whether or not you can know for sure that you have eternal life. Love is the key, is the test of how a person can know for sure that they've experienced God's forgiveness. The word love, as I said, is only used once in these five verses. But make no doubt, no doubt whatsoever, that is the key theme. Love for the brethren is both, he says in this passage, is both an old and a new commandment. It is the evidence that you know Jesus, and not only that you know Jesus' forgiveness, but it also is the evidence that you are in fellowship with God. If you think that you're walking in the light, but you have hatred towards your brother, you are in darkness. So that could mean two things. That could mean that you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior because you're in darkness. But it also could mean that you are not in fellowship with God. If you claim to know God and you say you are in fellowship with Him, yet you have hatred in your heart towards your brother or sister, God's word says you lie. You're not practicing the truth. You're not in fellowship with God. And so every time we look at these tests that John gives us in 1 John, they're all speaking of two things. It's referring to our position in Christ, that by this we can know that we know Him. And there's the test He gives us, a test of obedience we saw last week. Today He's being more clear by this obedience is a test of whether or not we're loving each other the way we ought to. And so how do we know if we know Him? Do you love? But not only that, it's a test of fellowship. How do I know if I'm walking in the light as He is in the light? How do I know if I'm in fellowship with God, if God's blessing is upon my life? You can know. That's what He's saying. You can know. How can I know? By loving my brother, by loving my sister. If I am walking in love, I am walking in the light. The person who claims to be walking in the light, but yet they have animosity or hatred in their heart toward another brother, that person is in darkness. They can claim to know God, but God's word is saying that if love is absent and void from your heart, you show that you do not know Him. I love how John, if you ever get a chance to do this, look at the Gospel of John and just read through that. Read through 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, and you'll see same author, right? And he's referring to the same things. It's amazing how you can tell that John has been impacted by Jesus' life. Because he's talking about something that's very important to Jesus, right? John reveals how Jesus has impacted his life. At one point, this man John, who wrote 1 John, at one point in his life, he was called one of the sons of thunder, right? Where when somebody was giving Jesus a hard time, what did John want to do? Jesus, should I call down some thunder, some fire from heaven and just strike these people dead, you know? Just get rid of them because, you know, they're giving you a hard time. Well, Jesus says, you know, no, we don't want to do that, right? That's not a loving thing to do. But as John has spent more time with Jesus, Jesus' life has impacted John's life to where John is no longer the son of thunder, but he's called the beloved son, right? He's a loving disciple. He is the disciple whom Jesus loved. He has love for Jesus, and Jesus has love for him. He's oozing out love for Jesus and mankind. He's reflecting the commandments of Jesus because his life has been impacted by Jesus. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more you're going to be like him. The more you're going to be loving toward people because Jesus was the most loving person who ever walked on this planet. Jesus says in John 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. It's not really a new commandment. God's word has always taught that we should love one another. But Jesus calls it a new commandment. We're going to talk about that in a little while. But look what he says here in John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I There's the difference. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Check it out, verse 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So love is the truest mark of a genuine believer. This will be the test of whether or not you know for sure that you are a child of God, is if you're loving like Jesus loved. This is how you know if you're in fellowship with God, is if you're loving the way Jesus loved. This is the first time of 40 times that we're going to see in this little book of 1 John that John mentions this word love. John appeals to love over and over again, whether it's a love that he has for God or that we should have for God, or it's a love that we should have for one another. He's always referring to love. Love is the key. That's why when I began the service earlier, I read from 1 Corinthians 13, because that's what love is all about. Love is the truest mark of a genuine believer. Church attendance is very important. We want you to come to church. But the truest mark of a true believer, Jesus says, is that you love one another. Paul says it's the greatest gift that you can have in your life, is that you're loving somebody. And he talks about that in 1 Corinthians 13, how he elaborates on what love is. And so love is the saint's highest moral duty toward mankind and toward each other, is that we love one another. And when you have this kind of love in your life, when your life demonstrates this, what we're going to learn is this: when you have that kind of love toward each other, it shows two things. It shows that you are truly a true believer in Christ. You give yourself, you show the world that you are a believer, that you are, that Jesus is living inside you. And it does another thing. It gives you confidence. It gives you assurance. If you are loving the way Jesus loved, you can know that that's how I know him. Because he's living in me, and my life is reflecting the love that he has for the mankind and for myself. And so I know he lives in me because I'm loving the way he loved. We want you to be faithful in attendance, but you can come to church every Sunday. Every day we have services. You can come. If the door was open and we had services every single day, you can always come, and that's great that you do that. But how is your love life? How is your love life? How are you loving your brother and your sister? How do you show your love for people in this room that you're sitting around right now? How do you show your love? By the handshake that you give during the greeting time? Is that how we show love? Spending time with each other just once a week? Is that how we show love to one another? Or is there more to this thing called Christianity? Is God calling us to love one another more than just coming to a church attendance, a church meeting? Or is there more to this? Should there be more involvement in our lives with each other to demonstrate that we are truly God's children, that we are loving one another? And how can we do it, folks? How can we show that we love one another if all we're doing is coming together just once a week? We need to spend more time together. How can you show you love somebody unless you're spending time with them? There's no way to do it. And I tell you, these are some hard words, and this is hard to listen to, but I preach it to myself. I preach it to myself. Hard questions that we need to ask. And so the passage that we looked this morning has two main points. I'm only going to cover one this morning. I don't think we can handle more than one, to tell you the truth. It's some heavy stuff. This is really, really convicting. And the first point, the two points that we're going to learn in these passages that we're looking at in verses 7 through 11 is, number one is this: the law of love. What is the law of love? That's going to be seen in verses 7 through 8. And then secondly, the life of love. The life of love. And that's going to be seen in verses 9 through 11. And so the law of love. What is love? The commandment that John gives us here in God's word is that we're supposed to love each other. But what is it? What is love? Do we allow our culture to define love for us? Do we look at Hollywood? Do we look at our TV set? Do we look at the world around us and say, that's how we're supposed to love people? How do we define love? Well, our culture defines love as being nice, right? Be nice. If a person is nice to you, then they are loving to you. If a person is nice, they're never going to confront you over your sin, over errors in your life. If a person is nice, loving and nice, they're not going to get angry with you about evil things that they hear of or see in your life. They're never going to say anything that might upset you. That's what love is. That's what our culture says what love is. But if we define love that way, then I'll tell you this much, Jesus was probably the most unloving person in the world. Did you hear that? If we define love by just by being nice and not saying, not pointing out wrong in people's lives, then Jesus was the most unloving person in the world. Was Jesus unloving when he spoke to the Pharisees and he said to them, "You are a bunch of whitewashed tombs"? Was Jesus unloving when he said that? Was Jesus unloving when he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God"? Peter was trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross and dying for the sins of mankind. Was Jesus unloving when he said to him, "Get behind me, Satan"? Was Jesus unloving when he said to the multitude that had rejected him over and over again? Was he unloving to them when he said this to them, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" Was Jesus unloving when he said those words to them? I would say no, and I hope you would say no as well. Jesus is the most loving person in the universe. See, love must be defined by God, not by our culture, nor by our warped view of what we think love might be. People have a tendency to redefine words, right? One of the things we cannot do is we cannot separate love from truth. If we love someone, we must love them enough to speak the truth to them. Truth and love. And that's what he says in 1 Corinthians, that love rejoices over truth. Truth and love go hand in hand. And so Jesus is the most loving person in the universe, and yet he spoke truthful words that might have been hurtful. But why did he speak them? Because he loved them. He loved them. And so John says that love, the law to love, he says in this passage that we're looking at, is old. It is a commandment that has been around for a long, long time. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. He says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning." You see the play on the words there? Again, I'll read that to you. "I write to you no new commandment, but an old commandment which you have had it from the beginning." And then the next phrase says, "The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning." And so first of all, he says it's something that you've had. John is saying this is a commandment. The commandment to love is something that you've had for a long time. You've always heard it. It's as old as the hills. God has always commanded his people to love him and to love their neighbor. Deuteronomy 6:5, for instance, says this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Again, in the law of Leviticus 19:18, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So he's saying that the commandment to love is as old as the hills. It's old. You've had it for a long time. It's something that God has always said that he wants us to love him and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So you've had it. But he also says this is an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. In other words, he's saying here that Jesus did not come to abolish the law that he's given, but to fulfill it. And so what did Jesus do? When Jesus was on the earth, he taught his followers to love. To love. John says it's something that you've heard from the beginning. And if you go back to chapter 1, verse 1, John begins the book by saying that we were with Jesus and we heard him. We saw him. We touched him. And so what did they hear Jesus say? By this you will know if you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It is something that they heard. When the gospel was preached from Jesus' mouth and the apostles' mouth, every time the gospel went forth, that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Believe and you'll be saved. And as that gospel was going forth, the commandment to love was also given. So the first step, how do I walk as a child of God? I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then I'm saved. But how do I walk? How do I live as a child of God? I'm to love as Jesus loved. It's something that I've heard from the beginning. It's old. I should know it. It's been taught throughout the Bible. Jesus emphasized that we also ought to love. By this, men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so the commandment to love is an old commandment. It's something that they had, and it's something that they heard. And why is John bringing this out? Well, remember, every book that we read in the Bible is written to somebody, right? And so John is writing to these first century believers in Asia Minor who are being infiltrated by false teachers who were saying that in order to know God, you had to have a deeper understanding. And they were modifying everything that they had heard from the beginning, and they were confusing the body of Christ. And so these false teachers were not showing love to the body of Christ. They were causing divisions. They were saying, hey, if you really want to be a true follower of Jesus, you have to get this deeper, higher knowledge that only we have. And so they were causing divisions. The nominal believers were over here, but the elite believers, the ones who had deeper understanding of things, were over here. And so they were creating divisions in the church. And this is not the way John wanted them to live. And so John is pointing out to them, it's an old commandment that you've had for a long, long time that you're supposed to love one another. But he also says in verse 8 that it's a new commandment. He says this in verse 8 of chapter 2. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. It almost seems like he's contradicting himself. He says, I don't write a new commandment to you. I write to you an old one. But now in verse 8, he says, again, a new commandment I write to you. I write to you a new commandment. So how can an old commandment, this is causing you to put your thinking caps on, how can an old commandment be new? Is there a contradiction in the Bible? How can an old commandment be new? Well, it is not new chronologically, right? It is new in the way that it is being expressed. It is new in a way, and it is fresh in essence and in quality. It's not new chronologically. The commandment to love is new in this way, in the sense of the way Jesus demonstrated love. No man, no one has ever seen anyone love the way Jesus did. And so, catch this. The commandment to love your neighbor as you love yourself is a commandment that has been given to the Jewish people, but they could not fulfill it. They did not fulfill it. They did not obey it the way they ought to. Jesus comes on the scene and says, listen, I'm going to show you how to live out this commandment. So it's a new way. I am showing you how to live out this commandment. It is new in the way Jesus demonstrated. He says, I love this phrase here. He says, which thing is true in him, John is saying, this commandment to love one another, it's true in him, but it's also true in you. You catch that? It is not new in word, but is new in the way that Jesus illustrated it. It is a new commandment. Jesus illustrated by a sacrificial love for sinners. Jesus demonstrated in John 13 when he got down on his knees and he washed his disciples' feet. Think about that. The King of Heaven. The King of Heaven knelt down and he washed sinners' feet. He washed their feet. Even knowing one of them, and I don't know if we all agree on this, whether or not Jesus washed Judas's feet. He might have, he might not have. But imagine he did. Knowing that Judas would betray him, he still washed his feet. But even the fact that he washed, the King of Heaven washed the disciples' feet. Wow. Jesus is demonstrating love. Jesus demonstrated this new kind of love. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul talks about how Jesus left heaven's glory. He left heaven's glory. Leaving heaven's glory is a new kind of love. God becoming a man is a new kind of love. Living out love in this life by loving your enemies, the same enemies who were nailing him to the cross and sacrificially giving his life for sinners, even those who we knew would reject him, this is a new kind of love. A love, as I said before, the world has never, ever known or seen before. So Jesus is showing and demonstrating. John is saying it's true in him, Jesus. He is demonstrating this new kind of love. A new commandment I give to you, that you love as I have loved. That is the new commandment. Love as Jesus has loved. But it's not just new because of the work and ministry of Jesus. It's new because of the way it can be expressed in your life and in my life. He says, which thing is true in him and in you. So John is pointing out, as he's writing these words to these believers in Asia Minor, he says, it's true in Jesus. But listen, I've seen it in your life as well. John's pointing out that he's seen in the life of these believers the love of Jesus being demonstrated. You see, these false teachers aren't demonstrating Jesus' love. I've seen it in your life. That's encouraging me here to know that someone sees you living out the love that Jesus loved, the way he loved. I've seen it in your life. It is true in you. Wow. Wouldn't you love someone to come up to you and say that to you? You know, it's true in you. I've seen you love the way Jesus loves. But yet, God says in his word, by this they will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's not a suggestion. It's not something that you come up with later on in your life. It's the first step of a believer is they begin to love their brother and their sister. This is how we know he is in us. It is true in you. And so that's why I couldn't go any further. That's why I couldn't get to verses 9 and 11. I can't get beyond verse 8, Calvary. I can't get beyond it. Because it says it is true in him and it is true in you. And when I read those words, I said, whoa, is it true in me? Am I loving the way Jesus wants me to love? But then I say, what about the church? What about all of us? I wonder if Jesus can say that about Calvary Baptist. If he looks down at all of us and says, I love the way they love each other. Does he look down seeing how we spend time with each other? Does he see us being involved in each other's lives? Does he see that? Is that how Jesus sees this church that we are at right now? There's many ways that we can demonstrate this love for each other. One of my pet peeves that I have is when a new person comes walking through the door and they come walking in and nobody greets them. Isn't that devastating? Wouldn't that bother you if that happened to you? It's terrible. Maybe one or two people show love to that person. Wouldn't it be great that if during the greeting time or during different periods of time of the service, that person who comes in that's new is greeted with a warm, friendly smile and ask a question. Is there anything I can help you out with? Make them feel at home. Do you know how full this church would be if everybody would show love in that kind of way? It's a great example to demonstrate love when people come. Do they get a nice, warm welcome? Not just from the six, maybe 10 people that I know are watching you do it. But all of us who claim to know Jesus Christ, do people know that you love them? Do they know that you are a true disciple of Jesus? One of the things I would love to see happen, best way to show love to a person who visits us is to take them out for lunch. That first time, and if you know what, take them out for lunch, put on your credit card and give me the receipt. I will pay you back. I care about it so much that if you were do that, I would buy you lunch that day. I would give you back your money that you spent. Take them out. Take them home. Show them, give them a meal and show them some love. They'll want to come back. They'll feel love. And they'll say, wow, them folks at Calvary Baptist really love people. Wouldn't that be a great testimony to have? Amen or oh me? Come on, amen. Amen. I know I heard a couple of you say, oh me. But hey, that's being honest, right? But you know what? We're going to get to a point in this message, but that's not the way it's supposed to stay. All of us are supposed to be growing in this area. But I want us to hear that. So he says, it's true in you and it's true in me. And as we follow Christ and live out the life that he's called us to live, we can demonstrate this new way of love. We can demonstrate this new way of love. We can personally show love for those around us, but it's going to take some steps for us to start stepping. The first step we need to take is we need to walk in humility. We need to walk in humility by denying ourselves. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25, Jesus said this to his disciples. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Those are Jesus' words. If anyone desires to come after me, if you desire to follow Jesus, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is not a second level step to following Jesus. This is the first step in following Jesus. If you desire to follow him, the first step is to walk in humility. Deny yourself. Walk in humility. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. We live this way. We need to live this way. We live this way because we have salvation. When the Holy Spirit comes in your life and my life, it enables us to live the way God wants us to live. Listen to how it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God, God's love has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. So if you have the Holy Spirit of God in you because you're a child of God, you also have the love of God in you. You're able to love the way God wants you to love. And so it is an old commandment that was made new through Jesus' life. It is true in him, and it is being newly expressed in the life of his followers. And the question we need to ask ourselves, is it really true in me? Is it true? Why? Because the last phrase we're looking at is this. Look at that, 1 John 2:8. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. That's a tough phrase to understand. It says the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And so many times in these verses that we're looking at, he only mentions love once, but he mentions a number of times darkness and light, darkness and light. He's contrasting them. And when he says the darkness is passing away, he's explaining the position that every believer is in. If you call yourself a believer in Christ, and if I shouldn't say it that way, I should say it this way. If you are a believer in Christ, the darkness is passing away. You're not perfectly walking in love the way you ought to. It's passing away, though. The darkness is not completely in control of your life anymore. You've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You're no longer controlled by darkness. You're controlled by light, right? And now you need to walk in that light as a child of God by confessing your sins and keeping short accounts and by denying yourself and walking in the light as he is in the light. So the darkness is passing away. The true light is already shining. And so as a believer in Jesus, the darkness is passing away. That's a good thing to know. Darkness does not control your life anymore. Light does. It's already there. The true light is there in your life. And so this is telling us our position that we have in Jesus. Every believer has the ability to love the way Jesus loved. Why? The darkness is passing away. The true light is already shining. The light of God is in you. And so John sees people either walking in the realm of darkness or walking in the realm of light. As believers in Jesus, we can sometimes get caught up and living the way we ought not to live, and we start walking in darkness. And when that happens, we're blind, we're not walking the way we ought to be walking, we're out of fellowship with God, and we're miserable. But as we confess our sins and we ask God to forgive us and He cleanses us, we begin to walk in the light as He is in the light. We can see where we're going. We have clear direction from God. The darkness is passing away. The true light is already shining. The spiritual darkness is no longer controlling our life. We are changing. The darkness is passing away because we're living in the light as He is in the light. And I love how Jesus puts this. In John chapter 8, verse 12, and Jesus said this. He spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Amen. This world is dark. Jesus is the light of this world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So you want to know how you can maintain this walking in light and loving your brother as you ought to? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. And how do we follow Jesus? You go back to that passage in Matthew 16. You want to follow Jesus? Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. That's how we follow Him. We follow Jesus. He is the light of the world. And if you're following Him, you're not going to walk in darkness, but you're going to have the light of life. Wow. And so by the way we live our life, we can show that we're walking in the light, that we're loving our brother and sister. So is our life marked by love for our brothers and sisters? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Is it marked by that? And so as we bring this message to a close, the one pressing truth that I want to leave in all of our minds and hearts is this manner of love. How is your love life? How's your love life? It can begin at home, obviously, right? You ought to love your wife. Husbands ought to love their wife as Christ loved the church. We're to love all those around us in our families, right? It begins there, but it also should be here. How are we showing that we love one another? Just by coming one Sunday, maybe one Sunday out of a month, two Sundays out of a month, even every Sunday if you come. Is that really showing love toward one another? Or should there be more involvement and more of a connection? And that is one of the reasons why I want to be able to communicate to you better. I want everyone to fill out that paper and write down on that paper the best way I can communicate with you. I want to be involved in your life. Your brother and sister who are sitting next to you that knows exactly what I'm talking about, that's already on the mission with God, that hey, I'm speaking to the choir, to some people in here. You're already living it, and I know. I encourage you to keep pressing on and don't stop what you're doing. But some of us need to hear this. And so communicate how I can communicate with you. Fill out that paper so we can communicate with each other. But listen to this. There's a next step that every believer needs to take. Every believer needs to take a next step. In other words, the way you're living now, after hearing God's word, there needs to be change. You can't sit there and say, oh, yeah, got that settled. Glad. Next sermon, please. No. Right? You've heard God's word, and there needs to be a response. How do I respond to what God just said? So use that same paper that you're going to give me all your information on, right? And put on that piece of paper what you think your next step should be. It's going to be just between me and you. Confidence, I promise you. Put what your next step should be. Maybe some of you are here and you've never been baptized, right? You need to be baptized. Maybe your next step should be you should be joining Calvary Baptist Church because you love the church. You've been coming here. Maybe I should rewind and go back to the first point, really. Maybe your next step is you're sitting here this morning and you are in darkness. You've never turned from your sins and placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You're not a believer in Jesus. Your life is not marked by love. It's marked by animosity, hatred, and anger. It's not marked by love. And you know it. Your wife knows it. Your husband knows it. Your children know it. Everyone around you knows it. You need to own up to it. And so become a child of God by turning from your sins and putting your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. That's your next step. But maybe your next step is that you need to start memorizing Scripture. You need to take that next step of obedience. Whatever it is, every believer has a next step they should be taking. The darkness is passing. The true light is already shining. Is that light shining in your life? And how can it shine more in your life? And so I believe this is the word that God wanted us to hear this morning. The world, meaning everybody around us, will know that we are disciples of Jesus if we have love for one another. So is love just a thought? Is love just an idea? Or is there more to it than that? I believe it is. I believe it is. I believe that we're falling short in this area, that we need to spend more time with each other. There needs to be more involvement in this body. We need to be expressing love toward one another in a more tangible way. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I know this morning's message is heavy, but I believe once in a while we need to hear a real heavy message. You rebuked the church of Laodicea because they had lost their first love. They had lost their first love. They weren't cold. They weren't hot. They were lukewarm. And God, I don't want that to be our testimony. I don't want that to be true of anybody here at Calvary. And I believe everyone here needs to take a next step. Perhaps that next step is to trust you, Jesus, to be the Lord and Savior. Darkness is controlling someone's life today. Perhaps it's because they're not saved. I pray, God, that they would humble themselves, see that they're lost, see that they need you, Jesus, to be their Savior, to wash away all their sins, and to make them a child of God. Oh, God, may that happen in someone's life today. Jesus, I need you to save me. May that be true in someone's life today. But every believer needs to take that next step. And God, I pray that everyone today would take that next step with you. The journey, walking with you, walking in the light as you are in the light. Oh, God, have your way in all of our hearts. I pray in Jesus' precious name. We're going to switch now to a time of invitation where whatever decision God has placed on your heart and you just prayed about, and it's real, it's convicting. If you want spiritual help, you want to talk to someone about that, then during this invitation time, please slide out of your pew and come and talk to me, and we'll make sure you get the help that you need. Why don't we all stand up and sing this invitational song? Standing up, it just makes it easy to slide out of your seat. You know what I'm saying? And may God have his way in all of our hearts.